Welcome back to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're here to discuss the milkshake and murder-filled Chapter 15 episode, Nighthawks. Like the diner. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Onion Inc. Director of Development Operations, Cameron Sheets.
Hey, we're back.
Your job title makes you seem so professional.
I don't know. I run Pops. That's my job.
Oh, you're Pop Tate?
Yeah.
You look good in a soda jerk outfit.
Yeah, I would love that.
You should be a soda jerk for Halloween.
That's okay. I'm doing it.
Our icebreaker question this episode is, it looks like Hiram Lodge has fired Smithers.
Oh, Smithers.
I have a lot of questions about that.
Yeah.
But where did Smithers go, Cameron?
I don't know. I wonder, what does Smithers do? I'm so worried about him. I mean, one, he's got to beef up that LinkedIn page because he's probably not really done much to it in a while. He's been working for the Lodges.
He's the doorman for a building that no one else appears to live in.
He was just waiting for them to come back at the beginning of season one, and they did. So now what does he do? I know he's a good caretaker. Maybe he goes, I don't know. I just want to see him and Pop Tate have a little friendship. I want to see them doing their own thing
married?
On the side.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so sweet. I'm just picturing them playing chess together.
Oh, I like it.
I don't know. Maybe it's time for Smithers to retire and just be happy and do something for him for once.
Also, do the Lodges own that building? I guess?
Maybe.
Question mark? I don't know.
Yeah.
So how could they even find... Yeah.
I just hope he's not gone. Maybe Smith... Okay, never mind. I'm not going to get started on my
Smithers
theories
is the Black Hood.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, we should get into the episode.
Yeah. Guys, Pops is under siege.
Pops is... It's a dark place. And it's kind of been said before, but Pops was, one, because it does kind of have this throwback vibe. It was this emblem of lights and goodness in the town.
Purity, yeah.
And now it's been tarnished. People are writing graffiti on sides.
They say Death Diner, even though no one died there.
Death Diner. Yeah, right. But there was blood everywhere, so.
That is true. It was pretty gross.
Right. This is a dark time for Pop Tate. We've already talked about him a lot. This is a big episode for him. Being someone that usually didn't get to say anything in season one beyond here's your burger.
Here you go,
he gets
kids.
A few, these first two episodes, we see a lot of him. And he gets to officiate the dream wedding. Anyway, But we should be worried because it's in danger of closing down. We've already lost a drive-in.
Yeah.
We can't take another loss
Specifically,
this.
Jughead can't.
Jughead specifically,
When they're talking about saving it, Jughead can't chip in because he can't handle any more social issues right
oh,
now.
Oh, I forgot about
he
that.
He can't tackle any more social
he's going
issues.
Through a lot.
He has to worry about FP.
But Pops, the diner, it closes down. One, I don't know where anyone else eats because that's the only place they ever go. So that seems like a big thing. The interesting thing that happens with this is they want to try and save it. And fairly early on, they're like, oh, well, let's just talk to Mayor McCoy. Betty and Jughead go to talk to her. And they're like, let's make it a landmark. We'll save it. We'll keep it open. And she's like, what if this happens again? I can't have another death on my hands or something like that. She's just worried about the town's reputation.
She sucks.
I don't trust her, as you know. I'm going to keep banging that drum, too. I just don't trust Mayor McCoy. Maybe she's not up to anything good, but she's obviously it's all feeding the town's image and feeding into her own image. Mm-hmm. She kind of burns them.
Yeah. So instead they decide to have retro night.
Yeah, right.
Which is basically just them wearing tiny shorts again.
Yeah.
And and Betty has to go to Cheryl to ask for the River Vixen's help.
Yep.
Which is where we learn that Josie is now in the River Vixens for really no reason.
I know. There's sometimes when the show is moving pieces around and it's does that matter actually? I mean, maybe it does. Maybe
it'll
it comes back
at some
to matter.
Point, probably.
But yeah, I mean, or it's just a way to get Josie to sing more because now I don't know. It's a weird detail.
So what we learn though is that Cheryl's not having it, and let's hear part of that speech.
Oh, Betty. I did not emerge from the frozen depths of Sweetwater River, nor the flames of Thornhill, to allow my vixens to sling milkshakes at some death-cursed diner. The answer is a double cherry on top, no?
Amazing speech.
Yeah, again, she's great.
A classic
death-cursed
Cheryl.
Diner. There's that line that you had called out earlier, but she's just the flames of Thornhill, I don't know, she's perfect. God bless
nor
you.
The flames of Thornhill. Yeah.
God bless Cheryl Blossom.
I know. She's a double cherry on top now.
Yeah. But it's, I don't know. There's this interesting dynamic between them, and it really starts to, this is later on in the episode, but it really does bring out Dark Betty. We can get to that.
No, let's talk about it now.
Well, okay. So, We've been hearing how this is going to be a big season for Betty, and we hear we're going to see Dark Betty again, and you kind of start to see some of that to some degree. I mean, obviously, she's blackmailing Cheryl. She gives Cheryl the tape of her dad shooting Jason.
First of all, they saved a copy to Jughead's computer. Like, okay, just in case.
But they, like, have that family time. This is so far ahead in the episode, but Cheryl and Penelope sit down, and they're like, oh, that's what? I don't know. That's
we'll
so
give you
weird.
Some peace.
Why would they watch that?
I don't know.
But this that kind of happens later on. This is after she goes with Jughead to the new Blossom Residence, mm-hmm. which is called
Thistle House. Thornhill Thistle House.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know.
In the conservatory, which looks like it's like part of like a Beauty and the Beast set.
Yeah, they're kind of in this weird
it's
rundown.
Like rose petals all over the ground and yeah. vines.
God, they're goth. They're so gothic and wonderful. I don't where was this place?
And like the turban with like the head covering. The mom's Penelope Blossom's outfits in episode 2 are just like I'm gonna do the chef kiss
thing. She looks
thing,
nuts. Like, chef's kiss for sure. She looks. It's kind of getting into Mommy Dearest territory mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, I'm sure they're trying to invoke to some degree.
But anyways, Betty is basically trying to blackmail Cheryl into mm-hmm. lying mm-hmm. at FP's trial. And she, first of all, confronts Cheryl when she is in her underpants, which is that's gratuitous for no reason. Cheryl has like one of those amazing lockers that like I always wanted to have when I was like growing up, where it's like fully decked out,
those
like
only
lights
exist in
it and
TV
stuff.
Shows, though,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
Okay.
And she basically says, "Look, you're gonna lie in court, and you're gonna say that you don't care, or else I'm gonna put this tape online, have the worst moment of your life." Online. Yeah. And then even in court, when Cheryl's kind of faltering, mm-hmm. Betty does this like cocked eyebrow thing mm-hmm. and Cheryl really delivers. So Betty, as Cheryl says, is a stone cold bitch.
Yeah, she sure is.
And she doesn't even have to wear like a little short black wig.
She's
like,
getting devious.
Time.
Yeah, it's starting to just creep out into her everyday life.
She's like very passionate about her friends.
Mm-hmm. She is, right. Family. It's all for what she sees as the right reasons. But I don't know. Cheryl... they have a long history, of course, but it gets dark. There's a quick little moment that we should just throw to you real quick.
Yes.
With their interaction.
Let's listen to that.
One click, and the darkest chapter of your family's twisted psychodrama becomes a viral sensation.
Are you threatening me?
This?
No.
No, this is... fun girl talk.
I loved their little like interaction.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the best.
Yeah, this is fun girl talk. That's such a, I mean, she's playing her Cheryl card. Mm-hmm. She's really pulling some strings here. It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, so she's doing this for Jughead, who she loves very much. Jughead, of course, we already know he doesn't have enough time to worry about the diner.
Because he's off worrying about FP.
Yeah, he's off worrying about his dad.
And first of all, the dad gets offered a deal that the young lawyer thinks they should take. It's 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck no. And so then he goes to Tomboy the Serpent. Uh-huh. That's his name. Mm-hmm. Who looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter. They found like the perfect bikery guy.
He's great.
And he and Jughead's like, let's break him out of jail. Which is like, come on, Jughead.
No.
Then they're going to run him up to the river to Canada. Which is like, also, you could totally get extradited there. He's not going to live in like the Yukon territory.
Would be cool.
He's FP.
I'd watch that spinoff.
So then Tomboy's like, no, you need a snake handler.
Mm-hmm.
You should go see our lawyer who works out of a tattoo shop. His name is Penny Peabody.
Which is not the name I would have given a serpent, but...
But yeah, she has the sleeve tattoo.
I know.
She's a serpent. They put her through college and law school.
Right. She seems cool. I like her.
I like her too. But
we're supposed to.
You know who doesn't like her is that FP.
Yeah, what? He calls her a snake charmer.
Yeah, and he's like, don't tell me you called her or whatever.
Which, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there because it doesn't seem that any of the other serpents have any problem with her. So, like, did she personally wrong FP?
Yeah, what is she possibly going to ask Jughead for? Maybe she's in charge of the drugs.
Oh, she could be.
Like, if there's drugs. But they say the serpents don't do drugs. Like, don't sell drugs.
Right. She's doing him a favor. She's going to ask him for something later
on. It's a little godfather-y, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, which I love that.
Yeah.
Who is this actress? I should look that up. I have
She
no
looked
idea.
Really familiar, and I meant to do that, and I just totally
well,
didn't.
Well, we will find out. Tweet that at us. Hashtag dial in for Mabel. We need to know what her deal. I don't know. I think she's got a good little scene, and I was like, oh, cool. She'll be a fun character on the side, but then you've got that twist at the end where he's like, she's a snake charmer. I don't know what
she's
to expect
bad.
There. We got to
we'll
keep our eyes out
for her. We'll see her
again
sometime. Mm-hmm. I think Jughead's in trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Let's take a little break, and then mm-hmm. we'll come back, and we'll talk about Retro Night and all those shorts. guys, we are back, and it is time for Retro Night at Pops.
Another classic, like, big CW event. Like, you know, every CW show has an event, a huge town event every episode.
Also, this is like, I did some set visits recently because I'm very fancy. But this is a good example of like how you see the outside of the diner, right? And it's like, you're like, oh, I know what that's like inside. And then you go inside and it's like four times bigger than like it looks from the outside.
Yeah.
And that's pure television magic.
Oh.
And I'm sure if you actually went to the site, it would be like the size of like a house.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I want to go to this diner.
I really do.
I want to go to Retro Night. Retro Night looks fun, I gotta
say.
It does.
Some people in roller skates, some people just walking around. Jughead and Kevin are wearing Soda Jerk outfits, and they look so cute.
They do. They look great. Yeah, Jughead's got his apron on and everything.
Yeah, his little hat.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, Retro Night, I'm kind of confused. Are they fundraising? They're fundraising.
What are they fundraising? Is it just to get people in the door?
They're trying to save Pops.
Is it just to encourage people to come out and say, like, hey, guess what? It's okay in here. It's exactly the same. Like,
I
remember,
guess
so. It's good.
Right.
And also, everyone's mentioning orange freezes, and I've never seen anyone drink an orange freeze on the show.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's the special Retro Night drink.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the other big part of Retro Night is this performance on the rooftop, which just all happens. Again, this is the show, like, weirdly moving things around just for seemingly no reason. Val has a neurovirus.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Is it a neurovirus or a norovirus?
Oh, I don't know. Am I saying
know.
It? Oh, boy.
If it's a neural virus, maybe she, like, has some sort of brain thing. If it's neuro, she's, like, pooping a lot, I think.
Yeah, that's a very important distinction. And they're just kind of like, that sucks. And then Cheryl's just like, I can sing. Why? I don't know. Why did they feel they needed Cheryl in? I'm happy she did, but...
Yeah, why didn't she just do like a solo? Why
it's just the
Josie
show moving
solo?
Pieces around for no reason.
And how'd they get on the roof?
I don't know. But most importantly, what are they sing?
Milkshake.
The best song of all time.
It is really good.
It's
and
such
it like
a good...
makes a lot of sense. And Cheryl
so
knew all the words somehow.
Yeah. I do love the way they reworked it. I think it's fun.
I agree. And they kind of brought it back later in the ep too, like underneath some stuff.
Yeah, you're right. You like hear it when they're inside talking.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. They're just on the roof.
My favorite part of Retro Night was Alice Cooper.
Oh, God, yeah. Alice is great.
I just love her so much.
Is she my favorite character? I love them all. Who am I kidding? But she's gotten so good.
Something last week we talked about the Fallon thing, but I think they were talking about, like, most likely to, and they were asking, like, who learned their lines the latest. And they Machen.
It was in that behind the scenes
clip. Yeah, it's Machen or whatever. And
yeah.
They're like, it is. She never knows them.
She's so fun.
Her, like, coming through those balloons, like, knocking them out of the way is, like, so funny. And then she's sitting in that front booth, and she's going to write the story called Requiem for Pops.
Yep.
And then, of course, she's, like, being a total bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's, like, a busybody, and, like, oh, the serpents are here. How dare
she's
they?
She's so nosy.
Even though Jughead, like, is also there, like, they're just supporting, they're just eating.
Mm-hmm.
The serpents are not even involved in the drug deal that goes down. It's fucking Reggie.
Right.
Who's, like, captain of the football
team.
Yeah,
which she notices, too. She sees Reggie... sees Reggie selling drugs to Moose and Midge, which obviously we'll get to that in a second. But she's just like, oh, boy. Alice is like taking note. And really, I mean, she's such a bitch to her daughter here.
Yeah.
She's like, look what you did to this place.
She says, you're almost single-handedly responsible for giving crime a haven in Riverdale.
No, I mean, no. That would have been...
It would have happened anywhere.
But that is a pretty, like, I think, again, a classic mom thing for her to be like, this was, I don't know. Maybe it's not a classic
it's
mom thing.
It's one fucking drug deal in the parking lot. It's like teenagers on teenagers. And, like, the serpents have crossed over. It's like, yeah, they came to get milkshakes.
She's so good.
I know.
Love Alice.
They're not, like, dealing out of the
right.
Place. Well, also, it would have, like, literally would have happened anywhere. Although we apparently are no other businesses in town. So.
No, that's the only restaurant. That's the only place you can go.
There's no grocery store. There's no parking lots.
Yeah, everybody goes there for carry out. They're just always going to Pops. So the other parents that show up to Pops, are, of course, Hermione and Hiram.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what are they really up to? We don't know. They show up and they're just like trying to make amends with their daughter. They're like, look, we're supporting what you want to support.
Mm-hmm. We're here to sit on the same side of the booth together.
Yeah, and everyone's like, okay, you're going to buy this place. Especially when Pop announces...
They made a charitable donation, which is like also not charitable. It's a guy's business. Like, how much money did you give him? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they bought it, and then they're paying Pop to be quiet and just stay on as manager.
They're just letting him stay on. And they don't tell Veronica. They don't tell anyone. They bought Pop out. He doesn't tell anyone. These kids that he loves as main customers.
Why did they buy it? Like, what's the point?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And when they have that moment where they kind of reveal that they did buy it out, Hiram turns to Hermione and he says, your loyalty knows no bounds or something like that. It's such a weird transactional thing.
But that's also after she had said that she wrote that letter and said it was Hiram.
Yes, that's true. Right.
I don't know. Like, I'm feeling really weird about the relationship.
I am too. That's what I'm saying. Like, that was such a weird transactional thing to say. Were they ever, like, were they always business partners? Were they ever in love? I mean, I'm sure Veronica's their child, but I don't know. It seems really weird.
Is she really on board with him, or is he just, mm-hmm. like, running the show, and she's just, like, trapped, like Hermione? I don't know.
That'd be so sad.
It's gross.
I mean, she also has not been a great person, but I would like to think that she's, like, at least sticking up for herself somewhere. It does not seem like it at all, but...
Speaking of sticking up for herself, let's hear Veronica talking to her dad at the beginning of
that.
A
great quip.
To quote that New Yorker cartoon, how about never, Dad? Is never good for you?
I love it. Mm-hmm. I don't know the New Yorker cartoon, but I feel like I understand it.
Me neither. I wanted to because I was like, well, Veronica knows it then. Obviously. It's all the kids are talking about.
Yeah.
I love that the high school teens in New York City are like, did you see the New Yorker this week? What a gas. I love that.
I also love when he comes into the Blue and Gold. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a student lounge. I think it's Blue and Gold. And she's like, Daddy?
Yeah.
And then they're like, Daddy.
Daddy. That's
and that's like
so
a big,
weird.
Like, Riverdale. I think it's like, first of all, this is like going to show how old I am. But like, I think it's like a millennial thing to be like, Daddy.
Daddy.
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then they would all do that on like Instagram and stuff last year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Daddy is like such
an in-joke.
Hashtag
Daddy or whatever.
So, yeah, I forgot that they like basically, the way they say Daddy, Kevin and Betty say Daddy in unison is so funny.
Yeah.
Is Hiram... the most daddy on the show? I think it's Smithers, to bring it back to my
what
guy.
Does that even mean? No.
Daddy? Oh, it's just like a, I don't know. I guess you're, wow. I can't be the one like defining these terms because I'm going to embarrass myself. But it's just like an older, maybe not even that much older, but like an older guy that is hot and he's a daddy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Oh, God. Is it him or is it Luke
I'm
Perry?
So embarrassed. I think it's Luke Perry. I mean, in my version of like what a daddy is, it's like you're kind of rustic and it's like, you know, you think of like the beard, and he's always got his like his beard and his like flannel shirts on.
Mm-hmm. I think Luke Perry is like the most, if you're going to define it like that. I was thinking, is it FP? No, not really.
Oh,
I think it's Luke Perry to me.
FP's looking good, but yeah. I think Luke Perry is daddy.
Mark Consuelos is good.
We'll settle the score. Actually, let us know. Please tweet
Who
at
is
us.
Daddy?
Who is daddy? Please, let us know.
moving on,
well, yeah,
I guess.
I mean, you kind of said, I mean, we're building to this. The main storyline is about Pops and this fundraiser and everything, but it does kind of feel like a slighter episode.
It's a little thin.
Yeah, it feels thin, but we do have...
Which is okay.
It
like,
is fine.
You're coming back. You blow your load kind of on that first step. And you know, you they're not, it's 22 ups or whatever. They're not all going to be like, bang, 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 like action, action, action.
Yeah, I wasn't bored for sure. It just like, as we're going through it now, it's like, oh, I don't know. There wasn't a ton of things to talk about
until the
this
very
sequence
end,
at the end. When, set to Season of the Witch.
No, when Season of the Sticks. Sorry, I like different pixie sticks. Because Moose and Midge are like, first of all, Moose is gay. Or at least bi, but he's like making out with Midge in his car.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, okay.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts about this.
Uh-huh.
Because Reggie earlier in the ep says that Jingle Jangle, because Archie's like, I need somebody to help me keep me awake,
right? Yeah.
And then Reggie's like, oh, Jingle Jangle keep you up for days in more ways than one, which is gross.
That's so
because,
weird.
Because like, it's like amphetamines and Viagra at the same time. But okay. I'm not sure like what the comparable non-real drug is. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So they're like sharing some Jingle Jangle and then they're going to like fuck or whatever in this car, which is really gross. And then the Black Hood comes and shoots him.
It's a creepy scene.
It's very creepy.
And it's nuts. I can't believe it. I mean, Moose, I don't know. I don't have affection for Moose, but it is pretty crazy that the show just went there. I think, like, Midge. I don't know. Who is Midge?
Who is Midge?
Did we see her season one
at
She's
all? In the River Vixens, apparently.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't think we really saw her.
Yeah.
Maybe?
That's really intense. That's a really intense scene. And I think that we'll get to our favorite section, our speculation corner, still yet to be titled. But I have another thought about what Black Hood is out to do. But it's dark. That's a really dark scene. It reminded me of Zodiac.
Yeah.
Which is
and Archie's
movie.
Like buying a gun from Dalton Doyle.
Yes, that's the other part of this scene.
Like a bridge that's like neck high.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I know. That bridge is weird. Where is that? I guess over to Sweetwater. But Dalton is...
Archie is so dumb. Like, I know I've talked about this before, but like there's zero chance he knows how to like use or load
there's
or
no
like
way.
Fire a gun, and he's not just gonna fuck himself up, and like he's gonna shoot himself.
God, I hope not.
Shoot himself in the foot, and he's never gonna be able to play quarterback again. Let's take a break because I want to hear about your Black Hood theory. So we'll come back and talk about it. We are back. Cam, did you like this episode?
Again, it felt kind of slight. I love anything at Pops ever. I think that that's like super fun.
I know.
Like setting. I loved all that stuff there. I love the milkshake song. I love that we had that there. And I really liked how it ended. It was super creepy.
Yeah, I like a cute, I'm looking cute, my soda jerk costume.
Yeah,
and
you're
in like tiny shorts and we're going to kiss on each other. What? And then I think Cheryl says something to the effect of like, you guys are like chimps picking bugs off each other.
Definitely. Do we have that? Oh.
We do have that clip. Let's play it.
Just like
ugh. You two are like chimps in captivity, grooming and picking lice off each other. Mark this day in your diary. I lied under oath for you.
We got it. There you go. You heard it. I also liked this episode had like a ton of dumb shit in it that I liked in a way where it was like, why does Archie have no shirt on when he answers the door?
I know. There's your Archie moment. Is that in the contract? Does he have to be shirtless in every episode?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fine. No one's complaining, but it's just so
why is Cheryl in
so
a bra?
Like, yeah,
just,
right.
Just like, can't she just be in River Vixen's clothes tying her shoes? No, we have to put her in like sexy lingerie. One thing that I always notice, and I always notice this when it's on TV, which is when people are like, well, you could see a shrink, and they're like, no way, right? They're always like so reticent to do it, and it drives me nuts.
I think that's bad. That's not—
It's very bad.
We don't need that in cult. People need to know that it's okay to see a therapist.
Lily Reinhart is doing some social media activism, and she's talked a lot about her mental illness.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't like to see it on TV, because especially then Archie's like, well, I guess we will see the school counselor, and then Reggie like makes fun of him for
it.
He's like, what do you have to see the counselor about? It's like your fucking dad just got shot. Like,
I know.
Be okay with him seeing the counselor.
I mean, that is pretty par for the course with like high school, like, I feel
boy,
like, you know
bullshit,
what I mean? Of
yeah.
course he said that.
That's... Yeah, definitely take the drug dealer's advice.
Yeah, come on. Right. Yeah. He's got the jingle jangle. You can trust him.
The other thing that I noticed in this app is that they made another Nightmare on Elm Street reference.
Okay.
Like Jughead says something like, it was like when he was trying to come in through the back door and then Archie like tackled him or went tried to get him.
Yeah.
And that was in the first app too. There's like another, it's like a weird, what's the through line here?
Interesting.
Is it just like a writer's room joke?
I don't know.
I got to figure it out.
Ooh, something I didn't think about you bringing that up is now that we're getting like a full television season's worth, do you think they're going to do like, they're going to go all out on holiday episodes? I would
they
love to
are.
See Halloween and Riverdale. They
are? They're definitely doing Christmas.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. I just want to see what they dress up as.
On social media, they've like posted pictures of them in like a Christmas tree because there's like a Christmas tree lot outside of Pops and stuff, which I know you'll like.
Uh-huh. Of course. What is, I wonder... I just want to know what Cheryl dresses up as for Halloween.
Apparently, Madeline Petch is like a huge Halloween fan, so I want to know what she dresses up as too.
I hope we get to see that. I want to know what everyone's costumes are.
Fingers crossed.
And the only reason I got off on that tangent was because I was like, man, Archie probably looks really good in the Freddy Krueger sweater.
Oh, that would be true. Yeah, he'd be good. I'm sure he'd be like, I'm Superman or something stupid though.
Oh God, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I like Jughead's. I'm sure it'll be like a nothing costume. It'll be like I'm wearing a tie, and he's like, I'm David Lynch or whatever.
He does the Jim Halpert like Facebook costume or something. Something. I'm a three-hole punch. Okay, whatever.
Let's hear from another little Alice Cooper bonbon, and then we'll go to our speculation corner.
The person who shot my dad may have murdered Miss Grundy.
My. We've come a long way since dances at the gym and varsity football tryouts, haven't we?
You were the first to know anything about Jason's autopsy, Mom. So Archie's wondering if...
If I can get details on Miss Grundy's death and see if they line up with the attack on Fred.
Would be really helpful to put Archie's mind at ease.
Fine. I'll reach out to my ghoulish friend.
Oh, I love Alice Cooper.
It's so funny.
This is when she agrees to go meet her ghoulish friend and find out if there's any similarities between Miss Grundy's shooting and Fred's shooting.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Not really.
No, but... This kind of ties into last week's episode we were talking about. Like, I was like, oh, this person has something out for Archie. And you could probably still make that argument because Moose is on his football team. You don't really ever get a sense that Archie actually gives a shit about Moose. But it is his classmate. So
if you're trying to
hurt
him, you go for, like, someone else.
Yeah. Now it makes me think, though, you know, he's going after these kids that are doing this drug. He went after Miss Grundy, who is obviously sleeping with her students. I wonder if he's got, like, some, like, Seven style vendetta against sinners. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. If he's like, Fred was an adulterer, yeah. I guess.
This is someone that is like, has seen or has been made aware of the actual darkness underneath this like bubbly Riverdale exterior. And he's like, I need to take these people out. They're ruining what Riverdale is.
Yeah.
He could be on some weird, like trying to clear out the sins of the town. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I do watch a lot of Law and Order. And I will say that could be also like justification for like, you know, there's always like one person you really want to kill and then you like kill a bunch of people around it. So like doesn't point to you.
Right.
So there could be something like that too. Mm-hmm. Who knows? What are our other things we want to talk about? Moose and Midge. That's a pretty horrific scene. God. Like, are they dead?
I mean, that was so, I'm trying to think. I feel like he shot like five times. That was so intense.
And it's like right into a car. Like,
yeah, of course. I've been wondering how dark this show gets because I've been talking about it. But I'm like, okay, how dark does it really, really get? But I mean, if they're going to start actually killing off characters, we did, obviously, the show kind of like set itself apart from the comics by having Jason Blossom die early on. Mm-hmm. Who else do we lose? I don't know. Are we going to start, dropping like flies? Well, yeah, Miss Grundy, who wasn't even really Miss Grundy. But where is the real Miss Grundy?
Yeah, I don't know. My other questions here we kind of touched on, which are why would the Lodge just want to buy Pops? Like, I don't know. It's like a struggling diner.
Mm-hmm.
They just to own it. Maybe they're just those people that are like, we need to own everything.
Well, I don't know. I mean, right. They want to own all this property in town.
Maybe they can move drugs through it.
I mean, again, it could just make it easier for them. There's something here.
Yeah.
There's something more here than we know about.
It could be a cash business. Get your laundering done there.
That's true.
Why does Archie need a gun? I mean, other than like Reggie being like, only an idiot brings a baseball bat to a gunfight or whatever.
Yeah.
Fact. True.
Yeah, of course.
And why can't we trust Penny Peabody?
I really don't know. I think that it's encouraging that we do kind of have all these questions at the end of this episode. Obviously, this is the show. Like, it's kind of like planting a lot of seeds everywhere.
Yes. This is like, and you're moving the plot along in this
one. Yeah, it gets me excited. So, right, this is maybe more of like a table setting thing. Archie has a gun now, and now we know Penny Peabody. Oh, that's reminding me of one thing. Jughead gets kind of caught up in a lot of that stuff in this episode with his dad. There is a scene earlier on where isn't he at the student lounge at the beginning?
Okay.
You don't go to school there anymore.
This was on my list.
Why isn't he in school?
Yeah. No, I think they're sitting like outside on a bench in like.
Oh, okay. Is that it? Well, still, he should be in school. And this kind of ties into that Alice Cooper quote we listened to just a little bit ago. It's like, you know, this is the first episode. They were very much, you like see their football practice. You see cheerleader tryouts. You see them going to this dance, like none of that, the school stuff, like their day-to-day life, like hardly matters now. She's like, well, we've come a long way. It's like, yeah, now we're just so concerned with these mysteries. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even matter who should be at school when.
Do you see Archie in class when the teacher comes in or when the principal comes in and says, hey, Miss Grundy died?
Yeah. Is and that then how that's done? That seemed really.
Also, then he leaves and people are like, Archie, come back. And it's like, his fucking dad died. Like, no shit, he gets to leave.
I know. Yeah.
Like, he shouldn't even be in school, or his dad didn't die. I'm sorry. Anyways, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about our favorite fan stuff.
Yeah.
Guys, we are back. We have this little segment titled TK. Hit us up, Dial In For Maple, hashtag on Twitter, where we kind of talk about like our favorite fan cast moments.
Yeah, because we
love
them.
From behind the scenes.
This is from way back before the season started, but I felt like we didn't address it. It is pretty interesting because I'm thinking about all these late night scenes they have. You know, Archie's on this bridge getting his gun late at night. Scene cut. Okay, now time to go home. KJ Apa drives himself home, falls asleep at the wheel. I still feel like we should just briefly touch on that.
I feel very bad for him.
That's really scary. And it also is just upsetting because we're like, oh, we love this cast. They have so much fun together. And yes, they do. But they're also like, again, these are still young people and they're working really, really hard.
Probably too hard.
And I know that the the production company's come out and been like, you know, we always offer them a ride home. But it is kind of sad to think that they're like,
I know.
I don't know.
So they're like struggling.
They do a really good job of making it. I don't know. KJ and Charles Melton, they're always working out together. And I love
Yeah. If you're working 16-hour days and you have to work out, it's got to be rough.
Yeah, that's a lot for them. And I just hope that, I mean, they're having fun with each other, but.
And
I'm
when you do watch
them.
The show, I mean, a lot of this stuff is probably shot inside and like lit to look like it's nighttime. Like Pops is not always nighttime at
point.
Pops.
Yeah.
But like there is a lot of stuff shot at night.
Yeah.
Like,
they do have late
awful
night
lot of
shoots,
stuff.
For sure.
So
I'm just worried about their mental health. I hope they're doing okay. This is a lot at once again. They're becoming more famous now that the show's back.
It is a little boring to be on set sometimes. You're just like sitting around for like hours on end.
Oh, yeah, right. They probably use a lot of like phone battery. I feel like I'd want like a Game Boy, like an old Game Boy Color, and I'd just be playing that in between things just to kind of get my mind
off
stuff.
That's a good point. There are videos online of like Cole playing video games like in his trailer.
Oh, yep. I've seen those. Yep, of course.
My favorite thing, speaking of this week, is Madeline Petch. The woman plays Cheryl has a behind the scenes YouTube blog where she'll like, here's me at Lollapalooza, and like, here's what my day was like. I know. We talked about the Lollapalooza one because we were like trying to hash out like what she was doing while she was here, like Chicago style. But I don't know. I think it's nice. I think some of them I'm like, okay, got it. And then there's other ones where I'm like, that is interesting. Like, it is interesting that, like, here's you, no makeup, getting in your car at 5 a.m.
Yeah, of course.
To go to set. Takes you an hour to get there. Like, where are you living? And then just, like, how long your day is and, like, what you guys are doing on set and how different you look with, like, eyelashes and lipstick and everything.
It's pretty much an all-access pass to what they're going through. We brought this up, our first full episode that we did, about, like, this is kind of becoming a thing in this different era, whereas Gossip Girl... I mean, those the stars of Gossip Girl all became these big, like, gossip items in, like, publications, magazines, that sort of thing. But, like, social media wasn't where it is now, where we can just, like, truly see everything they're doing.
Yeah. Like, why do I know that she loves Veggie Grill? Like, this is just because I'm on Instagram, and I'm like,
Veggie Grill.
Loves that place. Like, they're opening up one here, and I was like, cool, she'll like it when she comes here.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was upset that she was only here over the summer for, like, a day to go to Lollapalooza. I was like, come hang out.
Her boyfriend's cute.
Oh,
I don't know his name, but he's cute. He has a lot of tattoos. Anyways, Cameron, it was a pleasure to talk to you about episode two. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineers are Ryan Staples and Stephen Holliger. Our producer is Leah Stelton-Pohl, and our executive director of audio is Mandana Mofidi. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends, and they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Thanks, and we'll see you guys next week, probably at Moose and Midge's funerals. We have to assume after that shooting. Right? They're dead.
Oh, for sure. Please, please, again, tell us everything you think. We want to hear from you guys. Hashtag dial in for Maple or just tweet right at us. We love it.
At Mara E.
And at Cameron Sheets.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.